Welcome to Installation and Maintenance of Health IT Systems. This is Unit 7, System Interfaces and Integration. In this unit, we will explore some of the issues and challenges involved in interfacing and integrating system dissimilar components, including understanding system requirements and the messaging and other techniques used between various dissimilar systems. In this unit, we will define the interface and integration and explain why integration is important to EHR systems, particularly to those with pre-existing systems already in place. We will discuss common interface methods, such as point-to-point and interface engines, and the types of protocols that these two use. Next, we will focus on HL7 as a protocol of choice in the industry, and we will talk about how it simplifies the process of communication between dissimilar various dissimilar components, and we will look at the various components of a typical HL7 message. Lastly, we will talk about integration on a wider scale, that being connecting your HR system to the outside world. Hospitals and other healthcare provider organizations typically have many different computer systems used for everything from billing records to patient tracking. All of these systems should communicate with each other or interface when they receive new information, but not all do. Oftentimes, when we speak of interfaces, we are referring to the interface between the user and the computer. However, for today's lecture, when we talk about interfaces, we are talking about the connections between two distinct systems. A single interface consists of both source and target systems, and each interface uses a map to define where to send incoming data on the way back out of the interface. Additionally, translation tables can be used to map more than one value to a single output value. For instance, your PMS and EHR must be able to share data. This is typically done through a software interface. To build and maintain an interface requires the cooperation of personnel from both the PMS and EHR companies. Each time the EHR software is upgraded, and most good EHR products promise at least one upgrade per year, all those interfaces must be upgraded as well. System integration is the combining of the various subsystems into one larger system and ensuring that the subsystems function together as a whole. Specifically, in information technology, system integration is the process of linking together different computing systems and software applications, physically or functionally. Today, there are hundreds, if not thousands, of different medical tracking systems available and operational within institutions worldwide. Many departments within a single institution who have relied on their own tracking system to manage daily operations are now faced with a dilemma of replacing their system or finding some way for that system to integrate with these newer EHR systems now being adopted. Replacement of these systems can be exceedingly costly. There is the expense of purchasing the correct module or software, plus the added expense of manpower, training, and loss of productivity incurred while transitioning to the new system. Better yet, perhaps the system was originally designed to meet specific departmental needs which cannot be easily duplicated in a new module system. But for whatever reason, that's why it's imperative for EHR systems to be able to fully integrate with pre-existing systems in your health environment, which you would be too time-consuming or too costly to replace. Some of those pre-existing systems which may need scrutiny prior to the implementation process include, but are not limited to, the clinical information systems, intake and output, patient education, vital sign measurements, order management, results reporting, clinical documentation, computerized provider order entry or CPOE, consultants tracking, clinical rules engines, clinical alerts and reminders. In patient management, we have patient registration, admission, discharge, transfer, or ADT scheduling. In labs, we have chemistry, microbiology, and anatomic pathology. In pharmacology, there's the inpatient and outpatient, electronic medication administration record, or MAR, the barcode medication administration, adverse drug reaction, or ADR tracking. In radiology, there's general radiology, nuclear medicine, and even clinical image viewing, or PAC, systems. Even a nutrition and food service has tracking systems, including the food service management system and the clinical nutrition system. There are two widely used methods for connecting dissimilar systems in EHR systems, point-to-point and interface engines. Point-to-point integration is the traditional method of integrating healthcare applications. It requires that each separate software component establish a separate and distinct connection to each other component it needs to communicate with. Sometimes significant coding is required. The disadvantages of point-to-point integration can include high setup and maintenance costs, as well as maintaining an inordinate number of interface points. Despite the disadvantages of point-to-point integration, many hospitals use this method to compensate for a lack of ER budget money. Likewise, point-to-point messaging works very well for similar systems speaking the same language, or ensuring that secure transmission of a content package is correct between two stakeholders. As this diagram demonstrates, point-to-point integration means ensuring that each separate component can reliably and directly communicate with each other component within the system. An interface engine allows for the routing of data from dissimilar components through a centralized location. Interface engines bring with them numerous benefits, including flexibility, ease of maintenance, data consolidation, and centralized management. Healthcare institutions unable to purchase a full-blown EMR/EHR solution can use an interface engine as a launching point for migration to a completely digital computing environment. There are several different protocols in use by interface engines today. Some of those include extensible markup language, fixed length formats, variable length eliminated formats, Java, and Health Level 7. Over the past decade or so, application integration using Health Level 7, or HL7 for short, standards, has gained wide acceptance and support. Before HL7, interfacing two healthcare applications involved a negotiation that had virtually no ground rules and often was contingent upon vendor preference. Today, HL7 provides a common vocabulary, framework, and architecture to tie together the analysis, negotiation process between components within and beyond EHR systems. In today's lecture, we will look more closely at HL7 as an integration standard since it is considered more predominantly in today's interface requirements. HL7, with its version 2 and now newer version 3 messaging, has become the acknowledged healthcare industry standard, and it's considered the best protocol available to date for exchanging clinical data among disparate cooperating systems in the healthcare setting. The HL7 standard defines a method of moving clinical data between independent medical applications in near real time. HL7 is a structured, message-oriented protocol framework for computer communication between healthcare application systems. Unfortunately, adoption of the HL7 does not necessarily equate to a plug-and-play system, and vendors of healthcare applications more often than not must bend and customize HL7 to meet the needs of each customer and their systems in order to accurately exchange patient data. The name, Health Level 7, is a reference to the seventh or application layer of the ISO OSI reference model. The name indicates that HL7 focuses on application layer protocols for the healthcare domain and functions independently of lower layers. HL7 effectively considers all lower layers merely as tools. HL7 messages are based on the messaging protocol and are comprised of a series of segments, each on its own line. Each segment is set up for a specific purpose. For instance, the segment in line 2 of an admission message may denote the patient's demographic information. In HL7, there are over 100 of these predefined segments, each defined by a three-letter acronym indicating that segment's purpose. To make it easier to send and receive healthcare information, the HL7 organization has defined a standard that specifies what type of HL7 messages can be sent, what segments can be included in these messages, and what fields can be included in their segments. So, how does HL7 work anyway? Well, we could teach a whole course on understanding and configuring HL7 messages. However, for the sake of this course, we will cover a few basic principles. HL7 messages are sent and received by various EHR applications anytime requests or updates are made within the EHR system. In an HL7 message, the name of each segment is indicated in the first field of the segment and is always a three-letter character long statement. Some examples can include MSH, PID, NK1, and PV1. Different types of HL7 messages contain different segments. Dissecting a single segment reveals one to many different fields, or even subfields, each separated by a delimiter. Some delimiters include the pipe. The pipe denotes a field delimiter. The caret. The caret denotes a subfield delimiter. The tilde, which denotes a repeating field delimiter. The backslash, which denotes an escape character. And the ampersand, which denotes a sub-subfield delimiter. So, a typical segment could look like this one on the screen. In this segment, some fields are easily discernible. For instance, a subfield in the third field indicates this person's first name is John. It's also apparent that the sixth field contains a phone number. Bear in mind that this would be one segment in a message of many lines, this segment being part of an admissions message. By the way, the NK1 stands for next of kin, so this segment would denote a close family member and information about their demographics in relationship to the patient in question. Well, that was simple enough. Now let's examine a sample of a full HL7 message. In this case, a vaccination history query message. A lot of information can be determined just from the first line of the message. Let's take a closer look at the first line. In an HL7 message, every new message starts with a three-letter acronym MSH, so we know that this is the first line of the message. Another characteristic of HL7 messages, the ninth field in the first line denotes what type of message is being sent. This ninth field has two subsets. The first is a three-character acronym, in this case, VXQ. The VXQ caret VO1 indicates that this is a vaccination history query. In the subsequent lines, we can learn various characteristics of the query. For instance, a quick lookup of QRD tells us this is a query definition segment. The second field contains the timestamp the query was made, tells us the subject's name is John Fitzgerald Smith, and so on. The next line is a QRF, or segment query filter, which may further provide information regarding the subject's family, specifics of the type of vaccination history, and so on. Many EHR systems and other healthcare tracking systems have made the shift to integrate HL7 into their software coding. However, as stated earlier, many legacy systems still have no way to interpret HL7 messages. Incorporating a new EHR system into these environments necessitates an interface engine. An HL7 interface engine is a piece of software which works as a go-between between different systems. Like any other interface engine, it works by monitoring the different types of interfaces and communication points and performing actions according to predefined rules. HL7 engines can be purchased by many vendors, and each works with a number of standards: conceptual standards, document standards, application standards, and messaging standards. Messaging standards define how information is packaged and communicated from one system to another. Vendors often must customize these engines to the customer's specific needs, which is why HL7 is such a flexible protocol. Why is HL7 important? Well, it does represent the first standard protocol for communication between EHR components. A closed or proprietary system coding is generally hidden by the vendor and has greater reliability on single vendors and more reliance on specific applications and technologies to remain operational. Following a standard protocol provides you with the advantage of being able to connect to any system that supports this particular part of the standard, both now and in the future. Adhering to a standard protocol is called open system architecture. Open system architecture allows for interfacing between systems using appropriate protocols, independent of vendors. When using HL7, the interface allows for numerous systems to be added to the HL7 feed. New systems can be added without having to modify the original source code. Industry changes have forced a growing trend among U.S. hospitals to implement integrated health record systems. Integration or interoperable health record systems are clinical information systems capable of sharing electronic patient information between different record systems. An integrated system allows healthcare entities to adequately address billing and other health reform initiatives, better coordinate care of patients who transition between hospital and ambulatory care venues, streamline workflows, meet new high-tech Act meaningful use criteria, which are needed to receive bonus Medicare and Medicaid payments and avoid subsequent payment penalties. It's important to note that integration is still in its infancy, and more standards and practices are currently being developed for integration, including the EHR meaningful use criteria being developed by the ONC. In order to comply with the latest meaningful use criteria, which stipulate that hospitals must enable the EHRs to exchange data with any certified EHR system, each hospital also needs a technical solution for linking its EHR system with separate ambulatory and hospital EHRs. Currently, two options exist to allow this interconnectivity. Once again, point-to-point interfaces and health information exchanges, or HIEs. Like connecting within EHR systems, point-to-point interfaces are traditional methods of connecting to systems outside the EHR environment as well. They are software-controlled hardware links between each integrated ambulatory or hospital EHRs and the hospital system. Point-to-point interfaces are established and proven way to exchange data. They can utilize telephone lines for remote connections, and they are a standard part of EHR vendor software and support product lines. Difficulties typically include costs for custom programming and the logistical challenge of maintaining point-to-point interfaces between multiple different system products. As this diagram denotes, the health information exchange provides the capability to electronically move clinical information among disparate healthcare information systems while maintaining the meaning of the information being exchanged. Health information exchanges, in a sense, act as an interface engine between whole groups of institutions, allowing them to share information more efficiently. The goal of HIE is to facilitate access to and retrieval of clinical data to provide more timely, efficient, effective, equitable, safe, and patient-centered care. Formal organizations are now emerging to provide both form and function for health information exchange efforts, both on independent and governmental regional levels. RHIOs, or regional health information organizations, or ordinarily geographically defined entities which help develop and manage a set of contractual conventions and terms, arrange for the means of electronic exchange of information, and develop and maintain HIE standards. So, here are some things we have learned in today's lecture. First, an interface is a point of interaction between components, while integration is the process of combining various subsystems into one larger system and ensuring that the subsystem functions together as a whole. Disparate systems require some way to connect to newer EHR systems to ensure interoperability. Point-to-point connectivity is the traditional method of doing this, requiring that each component have direct connection points to other components, while interface engines allow disparate systems to connect to each other more efficiently through the use of an interface that can decipher information from each of the various components. By the way, I'll add, interface engines and point-to-point connectivity can coexist on the network. HL7, by the way, has emerged as the messaging standard of choice for communication between different EHR components. And HL7 is based on messaging standard and uses groupings of segments to relay information throughout the EHR system in near real time. Also, HL7 promotes open architecture, which allows anyone to interface systems using appropriate protocols independent of vendor. And lastly, health information exchanges act as interface engines for whole regions of healthcare institutions.